Ephesians, the first chapter, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, to the saints that are in Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ, in whom also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. Let us pray. Our loving Father, as we bow in thy presence, we open our hearts to thee for this moment of meditation. Our minds and our hearts go back home. They go to our churches and our friends and our brethren, not only in this land, but wherever the cause of Christ is represented. We plead, our Father, that thou wilt help each one of us in this moment to plead and pray for the ongoing of thy kingdom's work to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Father, let us be conscious of thy presence. Let us be conscious of thy leadership. Let us be conscious that the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing our thinking and our action this day. And Father, we pray as we wait in thy presence that thou wilt continue to let us catch glimpses of thy glory as we see thy mighty hand in the work of the Lord here upon this earth. Bless each one who brings messages this day. Bless each one, our Father, who has a part in thy kingdom's work, not only in this convention, but on to the uttermost parts of the earth. And now, our Father, we're in thy hands, and we pray that thou wilt continue to use us for thy glory, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you very, very much. Chair recognizes Dr. Merritt, our senior secretary, please.
Brother President, I move that the reading of the convention minutes be omitted and proceedings as published daily in the convention bulletin be approved as the record with authority for any necessary clerical adjustments to be made by the secretary. This, Brother President and brethren, is in keeping with the practice of the convention through the years.
All right. Do I hear a second to the motion? All right, the motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? If not, those favoring, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. It is carried and so ordered. All right, Chair recognizes Dr. Joe Burton.
There is an emergency call for Gordon Wood at the information booth. We have exhausted the supply of books of reports, as some of you know, to your embarrassment and regret. Perhaps some of you do not care to keep your book of reports if you do not need it, if there are two of you in the family and you have two copies, or if you can share a book with anyone else. Would you be kind enough to leave an extra copy of the book, if you have one, at the registration desk? Then others who have not been able to secure a copy may have one. The registration at the moment is 10,047.
All right, thank you. I think they've all been in here most of the time. It's hot enough for them all to be in here at least. We come now to the time on our program when we hear the report from our Southern Baptist Hospital. We introduce and present to you Dr. Frank Tripp of Louisiana, who is the administrator of our hospital work. Dr. Tripp.
Brother President, before I present to you the report of the of your hospitals, I'd like to call attention to the fact that we are this year undertaking to maintain an exhibit booth for the Southwide Hospital Association. Our booth is number 40. Those of you who have hospitals in your states, Baptist hospitals, I'm sure will be glad to go by. You will see the picture of your hospital or hospitals, as the case may be there. And also we have for distribution some printed material in which I think you will be interested. I think all of you will be interested to know that last year, the hospitals, Baptist hospitals located within the territory of the Southern Baptist Convention admitted 388,221 bed patients, 228,000 outpatients, and that we had 53,801 babies born in our hospitals, in our Baptist hospitals, last year. Now, there may be some significance to the fact that we're getting all this noise when I reported that we had 53,000 babies born in our Baptist hospitals. I don't know. There's other interesting information in the pamphlet which we have for distribution and which we have been distributing at the Southwide Baptist Hospital booth. Now, Brother President, I thought it would be nice to present to this group one of the most outstanding and enduring investments that we're making in our Baptist hospitals to the Christian cause. That is the training of our fine young women for the nursing career. So we have with us today six of our fine girls, two from the Georgia Baptist Hospital, two from the Baptist Hospital of Birmingham, and two from the Southern Baptist Hospital at New Orleans. I'd like for these fine young women to come now. I'd like to present them to you. They're accustomed to going to work early, so they were here on time this morning. Now, I might say in passing that these young ladies are assisting us in the hospital booth, booth 40, just in case there should be any fine unmarried young preachers around here that... And incidentally, for the benefit of the young women who might be considering nursing as a career, the percentage of young women marrying in the nursing profession is the highest of any profession in the United States. They make wonderful nurses, they make wonderful wives and mothers. To my right, Miss Elizabeth Cannon of the Georgia Baptist Hospital, Miss Betty Silas of the Georgia Baptist Hospital. And then to my immediate right, Miss Peggy Rowe of the Southern Baptist Hospital of New Orleans, Miss Shirley Ann Watson of the Southern Baptist Hospital of New Orleans, and then from the Baptist Hospital of Birmingham, Alabama, Miss Cinda Jo Pierce and Miss Ruth Dodson. We're very happy to have these girls, and I want to say again that it is my judgment, in addition to the healing ministry we're undertaking to carry out in our Baptist hospitals, that you are today privileged to look upon probably representatives of the greatest and most abiding contribution that we're making in this training program, not only of our fine nurses, but of our young doctors. Thank you, girls. Thank you very much. And now, Brother President, I would like for all the members of the Hospital Board of the Southern Baptist Convention to stand, please. We have some of them on the platform, including Dr. John E. Barnes, Jr., who is the president of our board. Will the rest of you, brethren, stand, please? Now there are some in the audience. Will you stand, please? Any members of the Hospital Board, wherever you are. I'm quite aware of the fact that they're not going to get any attention until these girls sit down, so thank you very much, brethren. Now, is Mr. Lawrence Payne, my associate and the administrator of the Jacksonville Hospital, here? He is supposed to have been on the platform. I don't know whether he understood it or not. If Mr. Payne is here, will he come to the platform, please? Where is Mr. Payne? All right, I'll have him stand and present him to you when he gets to the platform. Now, Brother Chairman, beginning on page 208 of your book of reports, you will find listed the financial and statistical report for the year of 1954. You will observe there the statement of admissions and patient days of service, the statement of income and expense for the New Orleans Hospital, the balance sheet for the New Orleans Hospital, and the analysis of funds, and then you will find a balance sheet or the statement of the financial position of the Baptist Memorial Hospital of Jacksonville, Florida. Motion to adopt it. Do you want to get a second? Let me.
All right. Is there a second to the motion? All right. Dr. Solomon moves that the report be adopted. Is there a second to the motion? All right.
Thank you, Brother President. At the time of the preparation of this report, we had hoped that the Baptist Hospital of Jacksonville would have been open before the meeting of the convention, or certainly very soon thereafter. But we've had some labor problems there. The painters of Jacksonville are now in their 12th or 13th week out on strike, and that has delayed the completion of that section of the building covered under the first contract. We went to the executive committee of this convention in December and requested that we be permitted to do additional financing in the amount of $750,000 in order that we might complete the entire facility, because of the very great and acute need for increased hospital beds in Jacksonville. That request was granted, and we hope to have the entire building completed and approximately 310 beds in service by early fall. Certainly 150 to 175 beds will be placed into service much earlier than that. That is, if the painters ever go back to work. Now, Brother Chairman, there's a matter here that I am sure will call for careful consideration and discussion, and I shall undertake to give back to the convention at least one-third of my time, if not more. Representatives of the Southern Baptist Convention of California presented a resolution at the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in Houston, May 8, 1953, which read in part, "Therefore, be it resolved by the Southern Baptist Convention now in session in Houston, this 8th day of May, 1953, that the Hospital Commission be instructed to consider the feasibility of establishing a Baptist hospital in the Los Angeles area of California. Following a visit of the Executive Secretary of the Hospital Board to the Los Angeles area, and at the request of representatives of the California Southern Baptist Convention, a delegation from California met with the Hospital Board January 27, 1955, and submitted the following proposal. The Southern Baptist General Convention of California and the people of the Los Angeles area proposed to purchase a suitable building site in Alhambra, California, and provide a minimum of $2 million to be used in the construction and equipping of a general hospital having an initial capacity of 150 beds, but so designed as to permit expansion as rapidly as additional funds are available, so that ultimately the hospital would have a capacity of 350 beds. Two, it is requested that the Southern Baptist Convention approve this proposal and instruct its hospital board to proceed in the establishment of a hospital in Alhambra, California, to serve the people of the Los Angeles area. End of quote from the resolution which was referred to our board by this convention at Houston. After giving the proposal careful consideration, the Southern Baptist Hospital Board of Directors unanimously voted to, quote, concur in the proposal and agree to accept the responsibility of establishing and operating a hospital in the Los Angeles area if authorized by the Southern Baptist Convention to do so, and if the necessary funds and a suitable building site are made available. But the President, your hospital commission or board takes this position. We are definitely convinced of the acute need for additional hospital services in the San Gabriel Valley. We believe it to be one of the greatest opportunities anywhere within the territory of this convention to establish and operate a general hospital having a teaching program as soon as such a teaching program can be established and accredited. Therefore, we concur in the need. We have also carefully considered the opportunity of service in the establishment of such an institution under the sponsorship and authority of this convention. I do not know of any section of the country that offers greater opportunity for the extension of our healing ministry than the West Coast. Therefore, we believe that the establishment and operation of such a hospital in the Los Angeles area would reflect credit to our denomination and add substantially to the prestige not only of Southern Baptists who live in California, but to all of the cause represented in this convention. Therefore, the board comes to say to you this morning, having had the resolution referred to us for consideration, we have considered it at your direction. We have investigated the need. We have carefully considered the opportunity for service. And we come to you this morning, concurring in the proposal and approving it, and passing it on to you for your more careful consideration. The nearest Baptist hospital to our Baptist friends who live in California is located at San Antonio, Texas. We have gone to California. We are undertaking to establish our Baptist institutions and to project the ministry of our agencies in that great land of opportunity. We come to say to you this morning, if it is in the judgment of this convention wise for us to accept the proposal, and if the people of California make available this site, which I have inspected and for which they will pay $500,000, if they make that site and $2 million available to the convention, and if you approve the project, your board is saying to you that we are happy to assume the responsibility of establishing and operating the hospital.
Dr. Newton. Brother President and brethren, I wish to cite an action of the convention which I believe has vital relation to the recommendation of the Hospital Commission on the matter of establishing and building a hospital in California, as I think it has relation to any other current suggestions that are being made to the Hospital Commission to establish, build, and maintain hospitals throughout the territory of the convention. I cite the action of the convention as found in the 1949 annual on page 47. It is nearly a page action, Brother President, and on behalf of time, if you will allow me to, I will read only two paragraphs. But there are several preceding paragraphs that give the reason why the convention in 1948 appointed a special committee to make a study of policy for this convention with reference to establishing future hospitals. Now, if you will let that explanation on behalf of time explain why these recommendations were made and adopted, then I will just read, please, paragraphs third and fourth. Third, that as a policy, parenthesis, because of conditions already mentioned, and that's parenthesis here in the record, and that condition is that we were being asked to and had undertaken to build several hospitals, you remember, including the one here in Florida, that as a policy, because of conditions already mentioned, Southern Baptists should not acquire additional hospitals in the immediate future. Fourth, that as a general policy, hospitals should be owned and operated by state conventions and local associations, rather than acquiring additional hospitals to be operated by the Southern Baptist Convention. Brother President, there are two considerations here. It seems to me, the first is, has this convention changed its policy adopted in 1949 with reference to establishing additional hospitals? That's number one. If this session of the convention should say that the action of 1949 has no bearing, and that when the convention, after a year's study under a special committee, adopts a policy that is to have nothing to do with this convention's future course, then that's what you say and that is what you're doing. In which event, then I would like, and I believe the convention would like very, very much before you adopt this recommendation of the Hospital Commission, to consider it on its merit. But I call your attention to the fact that this convention has a policy on the establishment of any additional hospitals at this time by our Hospital Commission. I call that to your attention, Brother President, because I believe it should have very definite consideration as we now consider the report before us.
Brother President, may I have this? Will you let me use this, please?
Our time's up now for this.
The time has expired for this part on our program. Would you like to extend the time?
Brother President.
Miss Dr. Newton.
I move that the Committee on Order of Business be requested and instructed to either find time at this time or at a future time for the worthy consideration of this very vital matter.
Ready. All right, you've heard the motion. Is there a second? All right.
I'm ready for a motion on the order of business.
All right. If you're in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
It is carried.
All right. On behalf of the Committee in Order of Business, I move that we extend the time 10 minutes for this discussion.
I apologize. They say I didn't put the contrary vote. If you're opposed, let it be known by saying no. All right, it's carried. Now the...
You've got a motion to extend it 10 minutes.
All right, you've heard the motion to extend the time 10 minutes. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. Now then, we're all together. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, by like sign. The time is extended 10 minutes.
Dr. Tripp.
Brother President and members of the convention, I did not come to this convention with the intention of engaging in an extended debate on this proposal. However, I do wish to make this observation. Dr. Newton is entirely correct in calling your attention to the action taken by the convention. I would also like to call attention to the fact that after that policy was adopted, the hospital board, in its report, submitted another policy, which was also adopted, following the adoption of the one to which he's called your attention. They're very similar. I don't know which one would be effective, which the one adopted first or the one adopted last. The only thing I'm coming to this microphone to say, Brother President, is this, that this convention has the right to do anything in its judgment it thinks ought to be done. Now, the statement of policy referred to by Dr. Newton states that it is the judgment of that special committee that no new enterprise or new hospital be acquired or established in the immediate future. Well, there have been several years passed. I don't know whether we're willing to say to California, if you'll give us a $500,000 site and $2 million in money, we'll cooperate with you in the establishment of a hospital or not. That's entirely up to this convention. But I am here to say that in my judgment, there is not a greater opportunity for this convention to minister anywhere within its territory. We have voted to go to California. We have voted to bring the California Brethren into our fellowship. California is not yet and will not for many years be strong enough to establish its own institutions. It could not build a seminary. It cannot build a hospital. But the non-Baptist people or groups of California will contribute substantially in the establishment of a hospital if such an institution is under the sponsorship of this convention. Brother Chairman, we have a practicing physician from California. We have Dr. Posey, the state secretary. If there are a few minutes left, I'd like for them to have a word.
All right. Chair recognizes Dr. Barton.
I appreciate the caution that was expressed back yonder in the resolution Dr. Newton read. And I frequently agree with Dr. Newton, but I think in this instance the times have changed and the situation has changed. I've thought through this matter somewhat before I came to the convention, and I can't see any dangers lurking in the way. My only question would be, which Dr. Tripp could answer, are we pretty safe on the expenses of the operation of this hospital after it's established? And the convention out there is not able to take this over, neither the association, and in the due time, if we want to do so, when they are strong enough, we can turn it over to the California Convention, and by all means, we do have now an unprecedented opportunity for a tremendous service in that state, which is now the second state in population in the United States. It seems to me that it'll be wise for us to adopt a report, notwithstanding the declaration back yonder at the other time.
All right. Chair recognizes Dr. Newton.
Brother President, I realize that we are all in a difficult situation because we've got a very important agenda this morning. You've already graciously extended the time 10 minutes, and much of that is gone. it's not a question that I'm trying now to bring to your attention of the merit of building a hospital anywhere. It's a question of whether or not this convention this morning ought to act on a matter that is only very briefly before us. Its executive committee has not considered it at all. And a previous convention 6 years ago said that before any more hospitals are established by our hospital commission, that we should have at least implied a reconsideration. I therefore, on behalf of what seems to me, Brother President, about the only way that this convention can express itself, I'm going to offer a substitute motion for the time in order to try to give us an opportunity to express ourselves, though we can't debate the merit of the question. I move, sir, as a substitute motion for the moment, that we reaffirm our policy of 1949 with regard to the establishment of further hospitals by our commission until this convention makes a restudy of policy with regard to such ministry. That we simply reaffirm our action of 1949. I make that as a motion in an effort to try to let this convention have some way of expressing itself on the merit of the question of policy. You've heard the motion. Is there a second? All right. Motion is not debatable. If you're in favor of the motion which Dr. Newton has made, would you let it be known by saying aye?
Aye.
Would you let the contrary be known by saying no?
No.
The noes prevail. Brother
Dr. Tripp.
As far as we're concerned, the board and the friends from California, we're ready to vote.
May I
ask a question about the hospital report?
Yes, sir. Let me recognize Dr. Porter Ruth here, if I may, please, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Shields. I would like to call your attention to another part of the action which was read by Dr. Newton, which may give an opportunity to do the very thing which he suggested. And yet,
Let me recognize Dr. Porter Ruth here, if I may, please, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Shields. I would like to call your attention to another part of the action which was read by Dr. Newton, which may give an opportunity to do the very thing which he suggested and yet would give an opportunity to study. And that is, in the hospital policy adopted in 1949, it states that if new hospital propositions are made to our hospital board, they must be considered as new enterprises of our convention, whether money is involved at the time of the acquiring of such property or not, and must be presented to two succeeding conventions as required by the business and financial plan of the Southern Baptist Convention as recorded in Bylaw 13. And then it reads the Bylaw 13, which you have in the business and financial plan of the convention. And so, by the action of your own business and financial plan, this matter would have to be voted on by two successive conventions in order to meet the requirements as you yourselves have laid down in your own business and financial plan. I think it might also be pointed out to the convention that in 1937, when the matter of the Jacksonville Hospital was presented, that the report of the Hospital Commission, 1947, stated that a committee appointed by the Jacksonville, Florida Association made a proposal for establishing a Southern Baptist hospital in that city, offering to contribute $1 million and an adequate site for the first unit, and to provide all funds necessary to increase the institution to a 300-bed hospital at a later date. You'll recall that the convention in Miami 2 years ago voted to approve a loan of $750,000 on that hospital. And the executive committee after considering the matter at its meeting in December and on the advice of those who have had experience in hospital work, that the Jacksonville Hospital could operate more efficiently and could fund its loan more successfully with an increased number of beds, increased that commitment to $1,500,000. Sometime before that, the convention had approved a loan of more than $1 million for the hospital at New Orleans. So at the present time, the hospital at New Orleans has commitments in debt of more than $2.5 million. So in view of this policy, which has been adopted in the past, the business and financial plan, and the debts which have already been committed, as we think of the statement made by the president the other day, certainly it is something that should give us cause for consideration very seriously of this whole problem before us.
Chairman, just an explanation.
Time is up. The 10 minutes have passed.
Chairman, I have a motion.
Let's vote. All right. I recognize the... I'm sorry, the chairman...
On the behalf of the Committee of Order of Business, we extend the time 5 minutes for the completion of this discussion.
Is there a second to the motion? All right. If you're in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
If you're opposed, let it be known by saying no. You have 5 minutes, brethren. You may. I won't promise to answer. I'll ask Dr. Ruth to answer that question. Two succeeding conventions is the answer to Dr. Solomon's question. Chair recognizes Dr. Tripp.
Brother President, I come to assure this convention that we have no intention of doing anything other than abiding by the provisions of the business and financial plan. If you approve this proposal today, it will be submitted for your consideration and disapproval or approval at the convention next year. We will not violate that policy. Furthermore, our board will not proceed or obligate itself in any way until the site, free of all encumbrance, and $2 million is available for this hospital. Now then, you'll be interested to know, for reference has been made to Jacksonville, that the people of Jacksonville have already provided a site for which we were offered $500,000. They have provided $2 million more in money, and recently we got a commitment from the Wolfson's Foundation for an additional $250,000. Therefore, it seems that our assets greatly exceed any liability that we have incurred.
All right, Chair recognizes Dr. Louis Newton.
Brother President, I want to ask a question here, which I partially got to ask Dr. Tripp a moment ago, because I think it's very important. I asked Dr. Tripp if on the financial statement on page 4 of yesterday's bulletin, the reference to $1,231,342.27 was the total current liabilities and deferred liabilities of the Southern Baptist Hospital at this time, and he said it was. And then I asked him where was the $1,500,000 that the convention had obligated himself for, and if I understood him correctly, you said not a dollar of it had been spent. Now tell us, let's get that record straight.
Yes, let's be very sure to get it straight, Dr. Newton. I'm sorry, but you did not ask me.
Well, that's right.
You did not ask me, sir, if this statement reflected all of our indebtedness. You asked me if this statement reflected the $1,500,000, and I told you it did not. Now then, if you'll turn to the statement, the balance sheet of the Jacksonville Hospital, for that is a matter that is handled in a trust agreement. We have an agreement, a trust agreement at Jacksonville. All funds raised in the community for the construction of that hospital are handled by the trust department of the Atlantic National Bank. Therefore, we cannot reflect it in our records until we take over the building and all the assets and carry it along with our financial statement. Now, we have not borrowed the money from the New York Life Insurance Company yet. We have a firm commitment from the New York Life Insurance Company for the loan. But we have not exercised our privilege of borrowing it yet. We have borrowed money from the three banks of Jacksonville for construction purposes. But it has to be carried through the trust department, and we cannot spend any money that we raise either by loan or by contribution for anything other than the building and equipment. I can assure you that the financial statement carried in your book of reports were prepared by a certified public accountant, and they are correct.
The reason I raise the question is that this official bulletin of the convention indicated that the total current liabilities and deferred liabilities was $1,200,000.
I didn't prepare that statement, Brother Chairman.
All right. And I think we should know, Brother President, what the facts are. Now then, may I ask one other question? Did the vote a moment ago turning down my motion to reaffirm, does the chair interpret that vote as setting aside now and permanently, for it would be permanently if it's set aside at all, the policy adopted in 1949?
I would not so rule. All right, are you ready to vote? You're voting now on the adoption. The motion is on the adoption of the report of the hospital board commission. Are you ready to vote? Those favoring the adoption of the report as has been presented in the book of reports and by Dr. Tripp, would you let it be known by saying aye?
Aye.
Let the contrary be known by no.
No.
Chair asks for another vote. If you're in favor of the adoption of the report, would you let it be known by saying aye?
Aye.
If opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. Does this have to do with this portion of the program?
It does.
Well, our time is up, Dr. Mayor.
I ask if you rule that the motion to adopt this report refers to all except this proposal, which must be brought back next year for a further...
That is right. That's right. All right. We come to the time on our program now for the Southern Baptist Foundation. And the chair recognizes Dr. T.L. Holcomb, who is the executive secretary and who needs no introduction to this convention. Dr. Holcomb.
It's a very great joy. Where do you talk to this thing? It's a very great joy to present a constructive report that contains information, contains the auditor's statement, and no recommendations. And the report is found in full on pages 205, 6, and a part of 7. Mr. President, I make a motion that the report of the Southern Baptist Foundation, as recorded in the Book of Reports, be approved.
All right, you've heard the motion. Is there a second to the motion? All right, the motion is made and seconded.
I want the privilege at this time first of announcing that we have a lovely exhibit in the exhibit room. The office secretary and bookkeeper, Ms. Bess, is in charge of that. She'll be very happy to welcome visitors to the booth. The next I want to present this morning, in order that you may know, as a Southern Baptist, something of the ministry of foundations, state foundations, and the Southern Baptist Foundation. We have a marvelous organization of foundation executives, and I ask for the privilege of presenting the two officers who are here this morning. Mr. Pettis of Louisiana is president of the executive foundation executives organization. I want you to know him.
Thank you, Dr. Holcomb. Happy to be here and appreciate this privilege.
Mr. Wright of Alabama, the secretary of the foundation in that state, is the secretary and treasurer of this organization. Mr. Wright.
Thank you, Dr. Hawker.
Thank you. We thank both of these friends for coming. Dr. Daniel of Texas is the vice president, but he is not present today. And therefore, I want you to know that there is an aggressive, dynamic organization marked by good fellowship that includes all of the foundations. They were kind enough to let me in on it, and it is therefore inclusive of the Southern Baptist and of all the state foundations. May I say a word in the moments that remain regarding this organization? It was done in order that we might study together. They do not miss an opportunity to get together to compare notes and to compare approaches and how you would complete this and how you'd do that. Through the very gracious courtesy of Brother Licklider and some of the business men of Miami, we had a luncheon followed by 2 hours of study with some 20 of these friends present here at this convention. They plan to have another meeting in connection with the large number of denominational meetings that are held in Nashville in December. And in that meeting, they will likewise. Then they have an annual meeting. These are just meetings that they catch the folks when they're there, and therefore without extra time or expense. They have the last annual meeting was in Atlanta. Dr. Jackson is the secretary for the Georgia Foundation. Dr. Newton, who has spoken once or twice here this morning, came to conduct a devotion. He's really better in devotions than he is on this motion he's making here this morning. He came to conduct a devotion, and he looked into our faces with a frankness and said, "Men, I think of you as members of the Joseph Society," or some such remark, and then said, "I feel that you're men of God, set apart to provide for every organization, for every institution and board, and that we have against, in an economic way, against the day, any day of economic depression." And so that is the recognition that the foundation gets. Men who studied and women who studied every time come up with a statement, "We ought to have had that 50 years ago instead of coming into the period with this United Foundation ministry now." May I mention again something of the objectives? Someone asked me the other day about the competitive side. It is not, that's what I'm trying to do today, is to present the Southern Baptist Foundation and the state foundations as instruments in the hand of the denomination and of God to do something tremendously worthwhile for all of our institutions, boards, and agencies, from the local church to the ends of the earth. May I add this other word regarding the objectives? It's the purpose of the foundations to help and not hinder. It's the purpose of the foundations to work together. We are not competitive. We are fellow workers in a marvelous field that will reinforce and help every phase of our Baptist life if we will cooperate. I close with this request. Friend, no foundation is able to employ a staff that would reach the people who ought to be reached. You take Brother Cantrell, who is connected as the investment man with the Great Texas Foundation, call attention that with all the millions that they have in hand now, that was given by just a few more than 50 families, he said more people die, Baptist people die in any 1 week by far than all who have ever given to the foundation. That's what we're asking you for. And we do not ask you just for the rich. I have a conviction this morning that's as deep as my soul, and that is that every Christian steward ought to want to be a steward of that God has committed unto him until Jesus shall come again. And so if you have $1,000 this morning in your savings account, $100 of it belongs to the Lord. And if you'll invest that $100 with your foundation, you'll get the interest on it, and then it will perpetuate your testimony until the Lord returns to the earth. May God bless you. I'm not going to wait for the red light because they are dangerous. I thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Holcomb. Now, you've heard the motion is on second is on the adoption of the report as it appears in the book of reports. Those favoring, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, by no. It is carried. Going to recognize Dr. Ralph Grant, chairman of the Committee on Committees, for a partial report at this time. Dr. Grant, please.
Brother Chairman and my friends, we met yesterday afternoon. Our Committee on Committees did. We had 19 of the 20 members present. And after a season of prayer, we come to you now with this report on time, place, and preacher Herman Westmoreland, Texas, Chairman Carl Campbell, Alabama, W.O. Vaught, Arkansas, John Ashcraft, California, Ray Garrett, District of Columbia, Alan Watson, Florida, Henry Stokes, Georgia, Loyal Matheny, Illinois, H. Leo Edelman, Kentucky, R. Houston Smith, Louisiana, Guy Saunders, Maryland, Norman Price, Mississippi, Harold Hunt, Missouri, Joseph Underwood, New Mexico, Douglas Ulrich, North Carolina, James Burris, South Carolina, A.D. Foreman, Jr., Tennessee, Thurman George, Oklahoma, Samuel Hill, Virginia, Paul Davis, Arizona. And then the committee on boards, Gibson Davis, Chairman, Tennessee, Claude Haygood, Alabama, Ralph Phelps, Jr., Arkansas, Edmund Walker, California, Robert S. Cooper, District of Columbia, Tom Collins, Florida, Clarence Pittard, Georgia, Carl Jacobs, Illinois, Ian Perry, Kentucky, Thurman Ulrich, Louisiana, Robert Woodward, Maryland, Leroy E. Green, Mississippi, Merle Mitchell, Missouri, Hoyt Welch, New Mexico, W.W. Finlater, North Carolina, Grady C. Coffin, Oklahoma, John Barry, South Carolina, H.P. Downey, Virginia, Charles Cockrell, Texas, E.J. Cobb, Arizona. Now, I will not take the time we're late to mention the committee. It is printed on the bulletin of the day, your Committee on Committees, but we submit this report. And we met and had prayer, and after prayer and much thought, we bring you this brief report. And Brother Chairman, I move the adoption of the report.
Is there a second to the motion? All right, those favoring, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, by no. It is carried, and this partial report is adopted. Now, Chair recognizes Dr. Joe Burton.
The Committee on Time, Place, and Preacher, which has just been announced, we'll meet this afternoon, 3 o'clock, at the Columbus Hotel in the lobby. There are emergency messages for Jesse Parnell, George E. Simmons, and Sam Scantlin is requested at the press room immediately.
Thank you very much. Now then, on our order of business, we come to the time for election of officers and miscellaneous business. I'm sure you realize that yesterday we elected the president, Dr. C.C. Warren. We elected our two secretaries. And today we come for the election of the first vice president and the second vice president. I think that by our own action that we first elect the first vice president, and the chair would declare the floor open for nominations of one to serve as first vice president of our convention. Dr. Barton desires to make a motion relative to this matter.
If you'll follow me, I'll help you to elect your officers much more expeditiously and save a lot of time. And this motion that I want to make is germane to the election and therefore I think in order. It's bylaw 4, And the second sentence, it says, elections of officers shall be by ballot, provided, however, that if there is only one nomination and no other person desires to nominate, the secretary or anyone designated for the purpose may cast the ballot of the convention. That is really just a parliamentary device, and you can decide anytime in any meeting how you want to elect your officers. When we rewrote the Constitution, we put it back in there because it had been there before, more a matter of custom than anything else. I move that sentence of the bylaw be eliminated and stricken out so that we can elect these officers by a rising vote. Now, when we were here 3 years ago, we spent a good part of 2 days trying to get the officers elected because of the cumbersome things in the bylaw. I will announce also that next year I will move the amendment of the Constitution in Article 5 and Section 2, which has to do with the thing that he's just read about the first vice president and so on. That's only an announcement for next year. My motion is the second sentence of this bylaw be eliminated, and it doesn't matter. We can take that vote, and nobody notices how folks vote, and it doesn't matter anyhow. It'll help us and maybe save ours.
All right, is there a second to Dr. Barton's motion? All right, I hear a second. Is there any discussion? If you're in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. All right, this carried. All right, please tell your name and who you're from if as you come to the mic, please, sir.
W.W. Nesbitt from Texas, New Voice. Mr. President and messengers of the convention, for the office of first vice president of the convention, I should like for you to prayerfully consider a worthy and respected man among us. This brother was not born in the South, neither was he born in the United States. His birthplace was in England, and in Canada he grew in stature. No man, I am sure, loves the Stars and Stripes more than this brother, nor is a more loyal citizen of these United States, but above and beyond his love for country is his love for Christ and his word and his church. He has served as pastor and in other capacities in California, Kentucky, Georgia, Washington, D.C., and Arkansas, and is now pastor of the First Baptist Church of Houston. He will serve with dignity, honor, and fairness. I nominate for first vice president K. Owen White of Texas.
All right. You've heard this nomination. Please give your name and where you're from, if you will, please.
R.R. Reynolds, of Charleston, South Carolina, better known to the convention as Railroad Reynolds. I'd like to present for first vice president one of our beloved of our own city, of Charleston, one whom most of you know, and I believe he would make one of the greatest men for this position that we could put up. He is none other than Brother Wallace Rogers, pastor of the Citadel Square Baptist Church, built by 125 members 100 years ago. They just have celebrated their 100th anniversary, and it is magnificent, beautiful building, and I wish you'd come to Charleston sometime and help us visit our ancestors down there where our Southern Baptist Convention, our seminary, was breathed by one of the greatest men that our history has ever known, Brother Richard Furman, whom we will have soon. And I wish you would come to help us celebrate our centennial down there. And we hope and pray that Dr. Rogers of the Citadel Square Church will be elected to this office, and he will serve you. He is a great man of God, doing a wonderful job there in the city of Charleston, South Carolina.
All right, you've heard this nomination. Chair recognizes Dr. Porter M. Bales.
Brother Bales from Tyler, Texas. If you don't hear me, hold up your hand. I'll speak a little louder. The man that I will nominate, I call his name, Dr. John Haldeman. He is pastor of the Alapata Baptist Church of Miami, Florida. He was born in the right place, and that's in East Texas. He was married right to Miss Virginia Bailey of Fort Worth, and he was educated in the right spot in Louisiana. And then he went to Southwestern Seminary and is now a trustee of the seminary. We elected yesterday C.C. Warren from the Southern Seminary, the oldest seminary, and now we will nominate Dr. Haldeman from the second oldest seminary. Dr. Haldeman's pastorates have been in Louisiana 7 years, in Georgia 4 years, in Florida 10 years. He has built a wonderful church. He has all the qualities of a great preacher, a wonderful promoter, and a marvelous pastor. His membership 10 years ago was 1,400. Now it's 4,700. He has the largest Sunday school in Florida and the second largest east of the Mississippi River. He has averaged in the last 10 years 275 baptized. He has been on the Ridgecrest Sunday School program for 7 years and speaks to evangelistic conferences. If he doesn't have the qualities that you want now in a first vice president, he's young enough to develop them in the future. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, you've heard this nomination. Knox Lambert.
I am Knox Lambert from South Carolina. Brethren, I would nominate a man this morning who is worthy of the trust of Vice President of this great convention. I speak of Frank Owen, now pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Lexington, Kentucky. His first training began in a pastor's home. His father is a pastor in Missouri. Frank was born in Missouri. He has held pastorates in Georgia, Kentucky. I think that it is highly significant that this man, 41 years of age, has been successful. He has been loyal to the kingdom through his denomination. His record speaks for itself. In every church that he has served, the cooperative program giving has risen to proportions hitherto unknown. He has contributed of his time to his denomination, and I am confident that he is old enough to know and young enough to go. And I'm hoping that you, brethren, will vote for Frank Owen, who is a man for this place.
All right, you've heard this nomination. The chair recognizes this gentleman. Give your name, please.
This is Andrew Hall of Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mr. President, I'm nominating a man this morning who does not know he is being nominated. I have only two or three things to say about him. And because of his qualifications, he demands less campaign speech.